as the sun dipped below the rugged silhouette of the Montana hills, casting long shadows across the Fort Benton compound, an urgent pounding of hooves broke the evening's calm. An Indian messenger, his face set in lines of dire urgency, brought news that sent a ripple of tension through the fort. Little Dog, esteemed head chief of the Piegan Nation, had been struck down by treachery from within his own ranks. Another drunken brawl, the new post surgeon muttered to himself, a hint of frustration lacing his voice as he gathered his medical kit and hurriedly set off with the messenger and a breed interpreter in tow. They arrived at the chief's teepee to a scene of palpable sorrow, the air filled with the lamentations of a people facing the potential loss of their leader. Pushing through the crowd, the surgeon found Little Dog lying on a buffalo hide, his life force ebbing away. A single glance was enough to understand the gravity of the moment. The old warrior was in the twilight of his existence, his once mighty spirit now wrestling with the shadows. In his hands, Little Dog clutched a hatchet, its handle polished by years of use and notched with the marks of countless victories. These marks were more than just a record of battles won. They were a testament to a life dedicated to leading his people, a life of courage and, increasingly, of conflict. The notches traced back to a youth filled with promise, to days when Little Dog, the war chief's son, first set out to prove his worth under the wide Montana sky. Even in those early days, as he listened to the warriors recount their exploits around the fires of the Medicine Lodge, Little Dog felt a stir of unease at the tales of bloodshed. While he admired the bravery of these men, a part of him recoiled at the violence, planting seeds of doubt that would grow alongside his ambitions. "I too will be a brave warrior," he resolved, yet within him, a struggle between the ways of war and a yearning for peace began to take root. As seasons turned and Little Dog's journeys took him across the vast landscapes from the Missouri to the shining peaks of the Rockies, down the sun-kissed valleys to the distant reaches of the Saskatchewan, he earned his place among the ranks of his people. With each passing winter, his reputation grew, from a young brave following seasoned leaders to forming his own raiding parties, proving himself a warrior worthy of his father's legacy. Yet, even as he ascended the ranks to become a leader among his people, Little Dog's dreams were haunted by a persistent doubt about the path of violence his life had taken. Seeking solace and guidance, he would retreat to the solitude of the hills, communing with the stars and the Great Spirit in search of a sign, a medicine that could reconcile the warrior within him with the growing sense of compassion that tugged at his soul. In these moments of solitude, Little Dog grappled with the legacy of his father and the expectations of his people, wrestling with his own desires for a life that held more than the endless cycle of raiding and retribution. It was a journey of the spirit as much as of the body, a quest for understanding that would define the chief he was to become, a leader who sought not only to protect his people, but to find a path forward in a changing world, a world where the old ways of the Piegan Nation would inevitably meet the encroaching tides of history and conflict. In the hushed whispers of the evening, under the expansive Montana sky, Little Dog found his heart and soul stirred by the ancient call of the star spirits. These guardians of the night, taking form in his visions, spoke to him of lands lush and wild, of fierce battles and the silent grace of the buffalo. Among these visions, one stood out with the clarity of the morning star. The great medicine road of the whites, known to many as the Oregon Trail, a path that carved through the heart of the wilderness far to the south. Compelled by this revelation, Little Dog returned to his people, a determined flame burning in his eyes. Before his lodge, he planted a white pole, its surface painted with the vibrant hues of the rainbow, a stark contrast against the earthen backdrop of the camp. This pole, now adorned with his buffalo shield and the symbols of his war deeds, stood as a beacon to all who shared his spirit of adventure and valor. Mounting his steadfast horse, Little Dog rode through the encampment, his voice rising in the ancient war songs of his people, stirring the hearts of the young braves. He called them to gather, to listen to the tale of his fast, the visions bestowed upon him by the star spirits, and the plan that had taken root in his soul, a daring raid upon the wagons traveling the great medicine road. Assembled at the base of the painted pole, 100 warriors listened with bated breath. Moved by Little Dog's conviction, they stepped forward, each in turn striking the pole in solemn agreement, a sacred pact from which there was no turning back. Their departure was set, and as dawn broke on the third day, they set out, their spirits high, their gear prepared for the long journey southward. Hidden among the rocks and cliffs that overlooked the Snake River, the warriors waited, the dust of an approaching wagon train soon visible on the horizon. Scouts confirmed its approach, noting its size and the lack of preparedness for an ambush. Unaware of the looming threat, the settlers drove their wagons closer, straight into the trap that had been laid out for them. With a cry that echoed the fierceness of the pagan wolf, Little Dog and his warriors descended upon the wagon train. There was no defense against the sudden onslaught, no chance for the settlers to protect themselves or their livestock. What followed was a swift and merciless attack, leaving behind only the charred remains of wagons and the grim evidence of the ambush. Among the debris, Little Dog discovered an iron box, heavy and sealed, hidden within an abandoned wagon. Curiosity piqued, he used his war club to break the lock, revealing a trove of eyeless brass buttons, beautiful, yet seemingly purposeless trinkets that puzzled him deeply. Despite their apparent lack of value, he couldn't bring himself to discard them, pondering over the strange priorities of the white settlers who had deemed these items worth transporting across such perilous distances. Deciding to hide the box along the banks of the Snake River, not far from where the future town of Pocatello would rise, Little Dog concealed the curious cache under an overhanging cliff. Perhaps, he thought, there might come a day when the purpose of these eyeless buttons would reveal itself, or perhaps they would remain just another mystery of the whites, left for the earth to reclaim. With the raid concluded and the box secured, Little Dog turned his steps toward home, his mind a whirlwind of thoughts and emotions. The ambush at Snake River would be remembered as a moment of both triumph and reflection, a testament to the courage and resolve of the Piegan nation, but also a reminder of the ever-growing chasm between the world of his ancestors and the new world encroaching upon their lands. Years had passed since Little Dog's warriors thundered across the plains, their hearts filled with the fire of battle and their hands with the spoils of conquest. The seasons turned, and with them, the fierce chief of the Piegan nation found a peace of sorts with the settlers who encroached upon the lands of his forefathers. It was during these autumnal years of his life that Little Dog shared a curious tale with Major Dawson, the stern yet fair commander of Fort Benton, a story of a box filled with eyeless brass buttons, deemed worthless yet mysteriously enchanting. This revelation came only after Little Dog noticed the settlers' strange fascination with similar buttons used in their own trade and adornment. Intrigued by this value placed on what he had considered mere trinkets, he recounted the story of the ambush by the Snake River and the hidden cache of buttons. The men of Fort Benton, captivated by tales of hidden treasures and the mystique of the untouched American frontier, urged Little Dog to lead them to this fabled stash. So, with the grizzled chief at their helm, a party of adventurous souls set forth from the safety of the fort, their eyes alight with the thrill of the hunt. They traversed the rugged wilderness, drawing ever closer to the site of the hidden treasure. However, as the Snake River loomed on the horizon, a vision came to Little Dog, a warning from the spirits that had guided him throughout his life. Heeding this otherworldly counsel, he halted the expedition, and the treasure of the eyeless buttons remained concealed beneath the sagebrush, untouched by the hands of man. To this day, the land whispers of Little Dog's hidden hoard, a chest too burdensome to be carried away by horse, nestled in the cliffs above the Snake River. The tale of this cache became a legend, fueling the dreams of treasure hunters and the imagination of those who heard the story. In the dim light of the lodge, as Little Dog's life ebbed away, the army surgeon, a man of science faced with the mysteries of a land and people he scarcely understood, struggled to comprehend the significance of the hatchet clutched in the chief's failing grip. The ancient weapon, with its notches telling tales of battles long past, was a link to a life lived with ferocity and honor. Little Dog's labored breaths filled the space as he lay on the brink of the spirit world, his gaze fleeting back to moments of triumph and loss. Among these memories was the first mark on his hatchet, symbolizing a confrontation with a flathead warrior known as Beartrack, and more tenderly, an encounter with Beartrack's daughter, a young woman of remarkable grace and beauty. Beartrack, a man of considerable stature and wisdom among the Flathead tribe, had lived a life marked by the valor of his raids and the wisdom of his council. His union with Mushmu, a beauty famed throughout the lands of the Pemme d'Oré, was a tale of romance that spoke to the heart of the wilderness itself. Their courtship, a series of bold gestures culminating in the gift of 50 horses, was the stuff of legend, binding their fates and enriching the tapestry of their people's history. The birth of their child, Pretty Flower, a soul as radiant as her name suggested, was a beacon of hope and continuity. Her arrival, heralded by the return of a beaver trapping expedition, was a moment of pure joy for Beartrack, a warrior who saw in his daughter not the continuation of his legacy of battle, but a promise of peace and beauty in a land often torn by conflict. In these intertwined stories of Little Dog, Beartrack, and the lands they called home, the saga of the American West unfolds a tale of courage, conflict, and the enduring spirit of those who shaped its destiny. Through the cold grasp of winter and the relentless cycle of seasons, Little Dog, with the weight of leadership upon his shoulders, ventured forth on a path that would define his legacy. With a small band of warriors, he traversed the rugged terrain of the Cutbank Trail, winding down the serpentine course of Nyack Creek, and pressing onward along the middle fork of the Flathead River into the heart of Flathead County. Yet, as they moved silently like shadows through the wilderness, Little Dog was haunted by visions that danced in the night sky, star dreams that whispered of a fate intertwined with both glory and despair. The eve before their departure was marked by ritual and reflection, as they circled the lodges, their drums echoing the ancient call of their ancestors, their voices rising in the chilling harmony of wolf songs. Despite the unity of their purpose, a shroud of unease clung to Little Dog, a foreboding that clouded his heart with uncertainty. Days into their journey, hidden within the embrace of the forest, they surveyed the land before them. There, spread out like a tapestry woven by the hands of the gods, lay the village of the Flatheads, teeming with life and beyond the reach of a simple raid. As time stretched on, the opportunity for surprise dwindled, leaving Little Dog and his warriors ensnared in a web of hesitation and doubt. Whispers of discontent and mistrust began to weave their way through the ranks, eroding the confidence once placed in Little Dog's guidance. Seeking solace and clarity, he retreated to a sacred hilltop, laying his burdens before the spirits of the land. The message he received was clear, yet fraught with ambiguity. No blood, a decree that confounded the warriors' expectations of valor and conquest. As the village of the Flatheads braced for an unseen storm, corralling their horses as if guided by an ancient instinct, Little Dog wrestled with the dictates of his vision. The dawning realization that no blood would be shed, that no spoils would be claimed, left a bitter taste of disillusionment among his followers. Faced with the scorn of his people, Little Dog stood at the precipice of doubt, questioning the very essence of his leadership and the path laid out by the spirits. Yet, within the depths of his turmoil, a flicker of faith endured. Faith in the stars, faith in a destiny that stretched beyond the immediate thirst for glory, calling him toward a different horizon. Amidst this turmoil of spirit and destiny, a story unfolded of a young girl named Pretty Flower, a soul as delicate and vibrant as the flora that adorned the world around her. Promised in marriage to Tuiluku, the son of a distant war chief, her life was a tapestry of nature's own weaving, untainted by the shadows of vanity or strife. As the day waned, and the time for her union drew near, Pretty Flower ventured into the embrace of the wilderness, her heart open to the silent whispers of the earth. It was in this moment of innocence and beauty that Little Dog beheld her, a vision of purity that pierced the veil of his hardened heart. Driven by a force he could not comprehend, Little Dog seized the moment, capturing Pretty Flower with the swiftness of a hawk's descent. As they fled into the wilderness, the cries of her people echoed behind them, a haunting reminder of the world they left in turmoil. In the seclusion of his lodge, as Pretty Flower shared her dreams of peace and unity, Little Dog found himself ensnared in a web of conflicting emotions. Her words, like the gentle flow of the creek, began to erode the fortress of doubt that had imprisoned his heart. In a gesture of newfound understanding, Little Dog adorned the entrance to his lodge with white sarga, symbols of purity and innocence, as if to ward off the shadows that lingered at the edges of his soul. As he lay beneath the stars, wrapped in the cloak of his contemplations, the path forward began to clear, guided by the wisdom of the stars and the quiet strength of the flower that had blossomed in the midst of strife. As dawn broke over the vast, untamed wilderness, the dreamer, Little Dog, stood resolute, his heart aligned with the visions that had haunted his nights. The warriors, once bound by blood and battle, looked upon him with a mix of bewilderment and awe. But Little Dog, guided by the ethereal whispers of his dreams, dismissed their concerns with a wave of his hand. Together, he and the maiden, Pretty Flower, set their course back to her ancestral village, nestled beside the tranquil shores of Flathead Lake. By the light of the setting sun on their second day of travel, the silhouette of their destination emerged against the twilight sky. Pretty Flower, her voice tinged with apprehension, beseeched Little Dog to let her approach her father's lodge alone, fearing the fury that might befall him. But with a steadfast resolve, Little Dog declined, insisting they face whatever awaited them together under the cover of night. As they stealthily entered the village, the world around them lay in silence, the usual chorus of dogs and ponies conspicuously absent, as if the very land recognized the gravity of their return. Little Dog, whose actions could easily have been misconstrued as naivety or weakness, found himself amidst his people, his return met with mixed emotions. While some scorned him for what they perceived as folly, others saw the wisdom in his adherence to the visions that guided him. They contemplated what might have been had he chosen to shame his captive before her return, yet in the end, they could not deny the strength of his conviction. The tension within the tribe soon gave way to a cautious optimism as Bear Track, accompanied by a procession bearing gifts and the promise of peace, made his way into the heart of pagan territory. The exchange of horses and presents mended the rifts of honor and enmity, and the accord reached in those moments between Bear Track and the Piegans forged a bond that would withstand the test of time. Little Dog's journey from warrior to leader, marked by both his valor in battle and his foresight in seeking peace, culminated in his ascent to the head of the Piegan nation. His tenure as chief was defined by a delicate balance between the preservation of his people's way of life and the inevitable encroachment of the settlers. Despite the disappearance of the buffalo and the pressures of reservation life, Little Dog remained a steadfast advocate for peace and adaptation, even as the world around him changed irrevocably. Yet, the path of peace is fraught with challenges, as Little Dog discovered. His efforts to integrate his people into a new way of living, to exchange the spear for the plow, were met with resistance and misunderstanding. His commitment to peace, once celebrated, became a source of contention among his warriors, who struggled to reconcile their ancestral ways with the demands of a changing world. In the twilight of his life, beset by the betrayal of those he sought to protect and the erosion of the land and traditions he held dear, Little Dog's journey came full circle. As he lay dying, attended by the army surgeon and his trusted interpreter, he gestured weakly to a notch on his hatchet, the symbol of his greatest triumph, not in battle, but in the bonds of love and understanding he had fostered. With his final breath, Little Dog whispered the name, Pretty Flower, a testament to the enduring power of compassion over conflict. As the surgeon stepped away from the still form of the chief, a shadow of doubt lingered in the air, a silent question hanging unspoken. What was the true measure of this man's legacy? The answer, as elusive as the dreams that guided him, remained etched in the annals of the West, a story of courage, sacrifice, and the unyielding spirit of a leader who dared to dream of peace in a land torn by war.